So as we have heard in the prayers and in the things that Rachel has said as well, there's a lot happening in the world. And I imagine maybe you're sitting here this morning with your head spinning at all the things that are going on in the news, the stories about Orlando we've had and the refugees. We are here with broken hearts about what has happened in the news, but maybe also in our own lives. I know all of us will probably be going through things which are hard. And then the coming week, I'm very much aware that there is the EU referendum. Maybe you're very worried about it. I am. My children came to me and said, "So will we be deported?" Because they don't have UK passports. Of course not, but it's just a kind of an indication as to the enormity of what's happening in our country actually this week. And then the elections in the US, there is a lot going on. So, but if you think the church is a little oasis where we can switch off for an hour and just be comfortable, that is not the case. We can't. And actually the Bible wants to speak into the things that we bring into church. I think church is more like sleep. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to go to sleep. But actually, do you know that we work very hard in our sleep? We're processing things, and we're filing things, and we're letting go of things which we don't need in our lives. And we have nightmares or we have dreams. There's a lot going on in our brain when we sleep. And I think church is maybe a little bit like that. We're working here together. We're trying to get the right perspective and maybe letting go of the things which are ballast and which we don't need in our lives, and getting things a little bit in order in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, and then we are ready for a new week with a new vision and a new energy, like when you wake up hopefully in the morning. So Exodus, I've been asked to continue the sermon on Exodus, and you've got the icons here, and we are at the third image. And Exodus, the golden calf, as we've heard in the story. And Exodus, actually, I think, is really relevant for our times. It's an epic story. And it's being referred to in the Bible again and again. And in some ways, Jesus lives out the Exodus story in his life. It's a story of liberation. So Exodus is very, very relevant for us. And we can ask all sorts of questions, for example, the story this morning and Exodus in general. Who are the people in slavery in our world today, the beginning of Exodus? Who are the oppressors? Who is Pharaoh? What does deliverance mean? What does liberation mean? What does it mean to be in a covenant, be in that relationship with God? And what are the things that pull us away from God? Where is the golden calf in our own lives, but also in the world, in our society? So I've done my homework for today. I've listened to two sermons online. Thank you, Will. I don't think Darius is here. And it was really captivating. I loved listening. I was sorry to miss the visuals and so on. But it was really good to listen to those sermons online. So the first sermon by Darius was about the covenant, saying yes to God, saying, "Yes, I want to be in a relationship with you." And then last week, Will preached on God's desire to be present with his children, to be present with us, a holy God wanting to be with us. And how amazing is it to be in that relationship where we are in some ways on the receiving end. We say yes to God and he showers us with grace and he gives us so much. And we are here maybe this morning thinking, yes, that is what I choose for my life, for myself and my family. That's the way I want to live. And maybe it's a little bit the feeling that Israel must have had once they finally left Egypt, once they went through the Red Sea and were able to shake off the oppression. So finally they are free. We are free. A little bit like your last day at school or after your exams. Yes, we are free. So that is all really beautiful, really wonderful. But today, as we read in the story, we've come to a crisis. Already there's a breakdown in that relationship, in that covenant relationship between God and his people. So we read in chapter 24, which Darius preached on, that after the covenant was made between God and the people with blood, Moses went up to the mountain. Yes, for 40 days and 40 nights. So can we have the first picture? Mount Sinai, there's Moses. So the people are left. Their leader was gone up the mountain. They probably feel a bit lost. And then what is happening, and it's taking a long time, clearly, for Moses to come back. God has got a lot to share with Moses, the commandments and the way God wants to order that life of the community, that free community. And then we read in our chapter this morning, if you can have the text on the slide, the people say to Moses, amongst themselves, come, make us, and they say to Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Well, there's already an untruth in that perception that the people have. Can you spot it? Who brought the people out of Egypt? Was it Moses? It was God. And God says very clearly at the beginning of the commandments, I brought you up out of Egypt. I liberated you. So this is where the people are at. They are impatient. They are maybe afraid. They have not really put their trust maybe in God. They are longing for security. And Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings and bring them to me. They brought them to Aaron, and then he made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. They have their golden calf, and they worship the golden calf. So the next slide, we see a little cartoon picture of them worshipping the calf, and they dance, and they have sacrifices. So this is a crisis. The wonderful start of the relationship, and there's already a breakdown. But before we kind of blame and see who went wrong here, let's just acknowledge the pain of a broken relationship. Can you relate to that when relationships go wrong? There is pain. And I'm not just talking about a love relationship, a marriage, but also family, maybe colleagues. When relationships... Now, can we take away that text, Ronnie? When there's a family relationship going wrong or colleagues, we want relationships to be right. And Israel turning away from God, being unfaithful to God so soon after the covenant, is really, really painful. It is not how it is meant to be. So then when we analyze it a little bit in the story, it is clear that the breakdown of that relationship is caused by the people's disobedience. Yes, it was mentioned explicitly by God not to make idols. Well, maybe he shouldn't have given them the idea. You know, when you say to children, explicitly, don't eat these biscuits and point them out in the jar, you know what's going to happen. So, but we read that in Exodus 20, the first and the second commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And then verse 23, he says it again, do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. And that commandment is repeated throughout the Old Testament, because the people of Israel keep making idols. What is it? What is it about the people that they want to make these idols? Why do they keep doing it? And why does God have to keep punishing them and making it clear, I do not want you to do that. I want that relationship of love with you. So I think maybe it's helpful for us just to analyze this a little bit and to see how it connects with our own lives. And maybe the way that we make idols in our lives. So what actually went wrong? I was staying with the Renaissance, actually, and I asked Millie and Jesse this morning, why do you think Israel made that golden calf? Well, maybe just turn to your neighbor, just for a moment, just to buzz. Why do you think, and I'll give Millie and Jesse's answer in a moment, why do you think Israel made that golden calf? Yes, does anyone want to shout out an answer? Why do you think they did it? Robin? No long sentences, just a word. Yes, so they wanted gods. Yeah, okay, yes. That's a really good point. It was kind of in their nature. It was around them, that's a really good point. In the cultures around them, worshipping gods, that was the normal thing to do. Yeah. Any other answers? Why did Israel do that? Yes? Sacrifice? So they had something to make sacrifices to, yes, and they wanted to see something probably. Any other answers? Sorry? Seeing is believing, yes, something visible. Any other answers? What was going on in Israel that they did that, Gordon? Yeah, so again, other people around them, cultures, sacrificing gods, to the gods. Yes, so they could all participate in something, it kind of brought them together. But do you want to know Millie and Jesse's answer? They said they were bored. And I thought that was a really good point. They were just bored. Moses had gone up the mountains. And who is this God? Where is he? We can't see him. We can't yet relate to him. And the fact that you laugh means that you must recognize it somehow. Boredom. Maybe also insecurity. Lots going on. So when we think a little bit more about relationships like marriage, like parenthood, fatherhood, we make a commitment, don't we? Do you ever get bored in that relationship? As a father, well, bored may be the wrong word. But do you ever think, is this what it is about? And then it's required to make a deeper commitment. What does it really mean to be a parent? What does it really mean to be committed? What does the people had said yes to God, we will obey you. But what does it really mean? What is the sacrifice? What is the commitment? So just thinking about the parenthood, about children. So it's all wonderful, lovely. And you think, yes, they've reached this milestone, that. And then you realize there's an ongoing commitment. It doesn't even stop when they leave home and go to university. They come back. So it is actually a lifelong commitment. And only a few days into the relationship, Israel turns away from it and says, no, actually, we prefer to have the golden calf instead of the commandments, because that was what had been given to them. So if we just go back one slide, Ronnie. So the golden calf, what does it actually stand for? And I've put a few words there. It's visible, it's instant, it's perfect, gold, smooth, it's manageable, it's easy, it's exciting, it's secure, it's also dead. So there's no real relationship there. So this is what the people went for. And they chose for that and not for the commandments. And can I have the words there? And the commandments are more about relationship. It's long-term, it's commitment, it's love, it's sacrifice, it's community, it's accountability, it is blessing, and it isn't dead, it is life. With all the complexities of it, it is life. So just flip back and forth between those a few times, Ronnie, if you can. I'm sure you can do that. Just what is the one? Where would you rather be? With the golden calf? Or with the commandments? What do you want your life to reflect? Just think about that for a moment. So when the people of Israel, they were bored, they were insecure, their leader had gone, what is a godly way of dealing with that? When things are difficult, when we are feeling lost, what choices do we make in our lives? Do we go for the instant solutions? Or are we willing to go for the long term, for the long haul, for the commitment? And I think often the golden calf, is that what we crave? That what we would like? That what would be convenient? But God invites us to something else. He invites us to the covenant, to that relationship, that commitment, that sacrifice. And I believe, actually, that that is our deepest desire, too. That is our deepest self. And we see that in some ways represented in the person of Moses, who does live out that friendship with God and that commitment and that sacrifice. And because that is how we are created, we can do that. So it's been very interesting over the last week to see all the tributes on the news to Jo Cox and just the enormous testimony she was and her life was. I don't know whether you saw the tribute that was made to her by her sister. That was by her family. That was really quite incredible how they talked about Jo, and she was clearly someone who made huge sacrifices and was incredibly committed to her work and to the issues that she was dealing with. And I think that is such an example that is possible. It is possible to be sacrificial and to be committed. We have that in us as human beings to serve, to love, and to commit. And I'll say a little bit more about that at the end. So when all of this has happened, they make the wrong choice, they go for the golden calf, Moses comes down, God is angry, yes, understandably, he wants to finish it all. Moses prays to God, and God says, okay, I'll stick with the people. Because, why? Because that's, God is not a God who just abandons us, who turns his back on us when we go wrong. He is a God who is committed, and he wants to continue with the people. And his name is compassion and mercy. He doesn't take the easy solution, but he sticks with that covenant, and he wants to continue that. In the meantime, there's also a lot of bloodshed. I didn't want to leave those verses out. And I think that's important, because worshipping idols or golden calf, it's not a joke. You can't play with fire without being hurt. Sometimes in our own lives, we may think, oh, we commit a little sin, and then before we know it, we are ruined. Things go terribly wrong, and people die in this world because of sins, because of mistakes that we make. So I think it's important to see that bloodshed also in the Bible. It is not a joke to worship idols and to turn away from God. that God doesn't turn away from his people. He wants a deeper life, a deeper commitment, and that relationship is going to be stronger. And as we know in our own relationships, when you go through a crisis and you stick with it, it will become stronger and deeper. And God does it again in Jesus. He commits himself to us again in Jesus, in the person of Jesus, the new covenant, entering into the human life, into community. So what about us? What is our response to all of this? What is our response? Can we make a deeper commitment? Can we be sacrificial? Can we be obedient? Can we sacrifice the easy and comfortable life? And a lot of us are already doing that. And that is part of being in that relationship with God. God gives us the choice. What kind of life do you want? What kind of God do you want? What sacrifice are you willing to make? With God, we are the authors of our lives, and we are able to decide, and we need one another to do so. So I put up this picture of the cross, and I don't mean to glorify the cross and to deny the cruelty of it, but still I believe, and I think the story of Exodus shows that a deep commitment to God may come with sacrifice and may come with suffering, but still there is more joy and more love to be found in the cross than in worshipping idols and going for the golden calf. A friend of mine I saw posted on Facebook last week after the death of Joe Cox. She said, "Dear hatred, you will not win. Love wins." And that is, I believe, what we are called to that life of love, which may be sacrificial and which demands a deep commitment. But we can do that together. We have that in us with God's strength and with the example of Jesus. So let us stand as the worship group comes forward. Loving God, we are here as your people, and we thank you for the love that you give to us, for the forgiveness, for the mercy, for your commitment to us as people. And we are here and we want to make a response to you. We want to respond to you, to your question. What is it that you want? Are you wanting this relationship with me, with all that it means? All the sacrifices, the suffering, the speaking out in the world as well. And Lord, we are here. You know each one of us. You know our potential. You know the temptations as well in our lives. You know our hearts. And if this morning you feel that God is calling you to a deeper commitment, just stretch out your hands and kind of say that to God. I want to commit myself deeply to this covenant relationship with you. I want to accept your forgiveness and your grace. I want to start again.